Okay, so we're about to begin a new sugya, but the new sugya is built on a lot of things we've been talking about in the past, particularly related to some of the most recent sugya. We spoke about the role of the katan in terms of the kinyanim, so it's going to impact on the role of the katan in terms of shlichus. So the sugya really begins on daf membeis amid aleph. And the Gemara has given us a whole series of different sources for the principle of shlichus, and now the Gemara questions, we have another source, another possible source, on daf membeis amid aleph. A little more than the third way down. The first one is the Ella. V'elahad yom Rav Gidla Marav minayin sheshluch shlom kemoso shenema v'nasiachad mimata. Rav Gidla Marav gives us an entirely different source for shlichus. The psukim in the end of Parshas Maaseh would speak about the dividing up of Eretz Yisrael. We spoke a little bit about this in the past. Dividing up of Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint different nasiim. Each shevet has to have its own nasi. And the job of the Nasi was going to be to do, in a sense, the buying and selling, to do the maneuvering, to do the dividing up on behalf of all the members of Klal Yisrael. So Rav saw in that the principle of Shlichos, after all. What right does the Nasi have to act on my behalf? Just because I appointed him as my Shaliach, if you hold it, the Nasi is a Shlichos, how does that work? What are the mechanics of that? So it must be that built into this parsha of Nasi Echad, the Chutz Aretz, it's working. Working with the assumption that there's a principle of shlichus. So why don't we derive shlichus from this pasuk? How come the other Amoraim were giving a series of other psukim? Typically shlichus mihacha. Why can't we derive shlichus from here? Says the Gemara, Tizvara. Does that really make sense to you? The hashlichusu. Is this parsha of Nasi Echad really based on shlichus? Vaktanim laven shlichus dinu. Some of the members of Klai Yisrael were ketanim. And Katan, everybody knows, you can't shlichus for Katan. Katan can't appoint a shliach. So since it's obvious that a Kotlin can't appoint a Shaliach, and Afa Pichain, the parish of Nasi Yechad, is put into motion, must be a riot that the parish of Nasi Yechad is not really a function of Shaliach. It must be some other Gersa Kotsub, but it's based on Zoch and Apotropos, that the Gemara is going to continue. But one thing, it's not clear-cut Shaliach. It's not the regular rules of Shalichos, because of an absolute cardinal rule of Shalichos, is that a Kotlin cannot appoint a Shaliach. So Ad Kana the Gemara, in terms of our sugya, this is setting the stage for us for this principle that a katan can't appoint a shliach. That's a given, that's a double poshut on the ode. It's that basic premise that prevents us from discussing shlichus vis-a-vis the parasha of Nasi Echad, because there were lemaisa katanim there. So the question is, how did Chazal figure this out? Where did this come from? What are the parameters of this din that there's no shlichus for katan? Why not? What's the source of Nasi Echad? How do you know that there's no shlichus for katan? So if you take a look at Rashi on the spot, so Rashi writes, there's a little bit, in some of the Gemara's a little bit of a tall cipher in terms of, there's a Dibra Masvel missing, but if you take a look at, V'ha'ha binam k'tana b'nochli aretz, it's, if I can describe where it is, it's about 10 lines where the lines start to get thin. There's a bold Dibra Masvel in Shochter, that's Pesach HaYochid, everyone got that? And then about 2 lines later, it's V'hanami k'tana b'nochli aretz. Does anyone have as a Dibra Masvel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the old Gemaras, it was not a separate Dibra Masvel, it was a mistake, and the new Gemaras, they already fixed it up. So, V'chia zochilu hem b'torah shluchim bo, v'alo ein shlichus l'kotan. So, Rashi is about to tell us, what's the source for shlichus l'kotan? T'gabi v'shilach v'shilcha, the parasha of Gittin and Kiddushin, which was one of the main sources for shlichus, ish ksiv. The Torah says the word ish, ki kachish. So Rashi fills in what the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara just tells us that davar poshut ad me'od that ein shlichus l'katan, and Rashi says, "Let me tell you what the source is. The source is ish ksiv l'maidas l'katan, and we know the parash of kedushin and gittin clearly only is referring to an ish. For sure, you have to be an ish in order to be mekanish an ish. That's not even negotiable. So therefore, from here we derive ein katanos shlich. Ad kan davar Rashi." So, we have to stop Rashi for a moment, or stop this drasha, the supposed drasha, that the basis for the din, that there's no shlichus for katan, is because, in effect, there's no kedushin for a katan. And if I would stop and ask you, and how do you know that? What's the mocha that there's no kedushin for katan? What would you say to that? What would you just answer me? If I would ask you, what's the mocha that a katan can be with Kaddish and Isha?
Because it's an ish.
education. So,
oh, so you would say kigachish. So the truth is, you're right on target. There's Rashi and Ksubas that actually says that kigachish ish v'lo katan. So in effect, the same word ish teaches me there's no kedushin for katan and there's no shivas for katan. The whole parsha, the same parsha.
It also has a kenyan.
Oh, so now that the Mishnah turns around and says, wait a second, what do I need a pasuk for? You need a pasuk to tell me that a katan can be a kenyan shenisha? So since when can it come do anything in a Torah? We already spoke about this last week, 2 weeks ago. The katan is a labardas, he doesn't have a yah, can't make kinyan on him. So it's a nusna pshit admiyoid that a katan can't be a kenyan shenisha. So yeah, I'm hearing two different things. Everyone's agreeing to the fact that a katan can't be a kenyan shenisha, and therefore a katan can't make a shalich. That I got it. But I want to know, why is that? Menoni mili. How do I know that a katan can't be a kenyan shenisha? Is it based on a pasuk that there's a cause of ish lemanis a katan, that Rashi and Ksuba seems to say? Or is it just a partial simple svara because a katan can't be a kenyan shenisha, no different than doing any other maisa kenyan? So let's plug in some of the things that we spoke about last week or the week before and analyze this a little bit deeper. You think it's so partial that a katan can't make a kenyan and therefore can't be a kenyan shenisha? I challenge you. If I remember correctly, there was a Tyson said in the Samaches that showed us that a katan can make a kinyan if there's something present. What is that something present?
Das
machne. Remember, das machne so. And Tosus went so far as to say that works with a Torah. Let's chazer for a second. Tosus learned that was the source of the Gemara Sanhedrin, how you can have a gear katan owning property based on das machne so. And that was the reason why the Gemara Gittin seems to say that a katan can be zoch even deraisa das machne so. And that was the reason why you can't give a lulav to a katan because it's going to be zochan a minat Torah das ches machnasel. So tell us that three gemaras last week to prove that das ches machnasel works and it works with the raisa. So we saw last week Rashi disagrees all three of the gemaras and not convincing. But Chitas Atoysus in several places in Shas and Gittin and Sanhedrin it's clear das ches machnasel works on a lulav de raisa. So Avakasha asks you, when a couple gets married, who's the machna, who's the kainah?
Isha is the
machna. She's clearly been machna herself. And who's being kona? Ish kona. Clearly, the man is being the kona. He's acquiring her. So I don't understand. Let kedushin work for katan b'deraisa based on the principle. Das ches machna so. Even on level of deraisa. She can be machna herself to the husband b'deraisa. Why not? What's wrong with that cheshbon? What's wrong with that comparison? So we started off by saying a minute ago, for sure, a man can, a katan can be a kaddish nisha. That's like a milsa pshita. And Baruch Hashem for that din, that's the source that we know that a katan can't appoint a shaliach, because ish, it's all the same parsha. And Dr. Fisher strengthened our argument by saying, it's a milsa pshita, I don't need a pasuk for it, it's never pasha, that a katan can be kind of anything. And now I'm turning around on its head and saying, no, not only is it not a milsa pshita, it's not even true. Who says that it's true? Meir takes whatever das ches machnas. So according to Tosfos, why does Das Ches Machnas fail us in Hilchos Kedushin? That's the real question we have to start off the show with tonight. So last week and the week before, we spent so much time analyzing and evaluating the principle of Das Ches Machnas. And now we're taking it to the next level. We want to know, it seems to fall short when it reaches the next level. It seems to fall short in the realm of Kedushin. And the question is why? What is it about Kedushin, something that doesn't lend itself to Das Ches Machnas? So let's take a look at a Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. When Tes Amud Aleph writes back in the middle of the page, the two dots, Tana Rabbanan, for Shtar Ketz, we know that Shtar is one of the mechanisms of Kedushin. It's derived from Yotzer Hoysa, it works for a get, it works for Kedushin. So writes back in the middle of the two dots, Tana Rabbanan, for Shtar Ketz, how do you write a Shtar Kedushin? Kosav loy ala niya or ala cheres afapi she'ein b'shevafuta bitech mekudeshesli bitech meuresesli bitech lili indu hareiz mekudesh. So it's describing being mekadesh and isha. She's not such a big isha. She's really a tana or a nara. You're really actually giving the, in this case, the shtar kedushin to the father. That's okay. It's bitin asatli. She said that we know that a father has the ability to marry off his daughter, which is a tana or a nara. So the braisa happens to be describing the nusach of the shtar kedushin when you're giving it to the father. If you would be giving it to the girl, she's over the age of 12 and a half, then you would just change the text a little bit, and you would say, Areyam Kodesh, fine, whatever it is. You would write that in the text. So here, the braisa is giving us the text of the shtar kedushin, and it's clear that it is the husband who's playing the active role. The choson, the man, is the one who's writing the text of the shtar kedushin. Maskevur abzeir b'momo.
Halo domi haishtara the shtar zvini. Someone says, wait a second. The text, or the writer of the text, of a shtar kedushin is not the same as a shtar mechira. A shtar mechira, how come when it comes to shtar mechira, it's the seller who writes or authorizes the document, and the text is from the seller's vantage point, sadim churlach. Here, all of a sudden, it's the kainet, it's the baal who's writing the shtar. So it's a very strange thing. So Amar Rava. So Rava tries to explain how Chazal figured this out. How do we figure out this discrepancy between the two shtaras? Amar Rava. It's all based on psukim. So, when it comes to mechira, so the Torah speaks about umachar, the mocher is playing the active role. The meicher tal rachamana. Whereas when it comes to kedushin, the husband is playing the active role. So Rava seems to say it's exerza kosov. So the problem is the Gemara challenges that there are other psukim in Tanakh that don't seem to express this idea, seem to express the idea that the kohen is also playing a role in the mechira. So we're back to square one. It seems to be a little bit arbitrary. How come the nusach of the shtar mechira is different than the nusach of the shtar kedushin? So the Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth, and finally, the Gemara says it's 7 lines from the white lines, 6 lines from the white. Elam Arava, hilchasa ninuves mechira bar nakroi. It's basically hilchasa, and which pretty much boils down to based on Allah Bashmasina. It means it's a tradition that we have. Kach nimr halacha, that's what Tesh Rebbe explains to us. The psukim may be rames to it, maybe they're not rames to it, it's not even clear. But at the end of the day, that's the way it is. That's the din, says Rava. It's a dover poshadat ma'oid. Even though we can't quite pinpoint an absolute mokor in chumash or tanach for it, that's the way it is. That the moicha writes the shtar mechira, and the baal writes the shtar kedushin. The question is, okay, we're makabu. We accept this halacha. The question is, what does this halacha tell us? What is the nature of this halacha? Why is this such? Forget about the fact we figured out we don't have a makor in chumash, but we have a tradition for this discrepancy. What's the love of this? Why should it be conceptually one way or the other? Why would we think the baal should write the kedushin? Why would we think the mocha should write the shtar kedushin, the shtar mechira? What's it based on? It takes two to tango. You need a mocha and a koina. You need a chassid and a kala. Who should be the one to authorize the document?
One who's taking on responsibility, then maybe.
Well, is it responsible? Both. Responsible. Okay, they're both responsible, both irresponsible.
I know. But, a suva, I'm thinking, but I don't know.
No, I like suva. But the shtar kedushin. What is a shtar really an expression of truthfully? Well, you're putting down on paper, you know, we're the lawyers here. You know, two guys sit around the shmooze and they agree to do such and such. Why is that not so powerful, both in halacha and in the legal world? Words are cheap. The person says, I say, yeah, I did commit, I didn't commit. It doesn't, verbal agreements usually don't mean all that much in halacha also. You put something down in writing, it means you're putting it down like kayoma. It's there to stay, it's there to be proven. It could show up in Beis Din now. It gets proven, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. That's a whole nother level, a whole nother expression of what, Rabbi say? Of responsibility in halachic terms. What term do we use? Remember, it takes two things to create a kinyan. It needs a maisa kinyan and das. You need das kinyan. L'chora, what the writing of a shtar really is a higher level, a higher form of expression of das. That's what a really shtar is all about. That this, I'm dead serious of what I'm doing. I'm not just I'm bouncing around and saying things off the top of my head. I'm putting it into writing, and once it's in writing, it's there forever. It can be brought to Beis Din 50 years from now. It's there forever. So that's a much more of a higher expression that I'm masking to what's going on. That's what the Torah, the barometer, the shtar is a barometer of a level of das. If so, it makes a lot of sense. Who should be the one to be putting their das on paper? The bialim who have to supply the das. The person who's supplying the das, that the engine of making this kinyan work, he or she is supposed to be the one to put it into writing. So who's the one who's supplying the das? Who is the one who's the primary player over here? So there are certain chalosim that are really, really very simple. There are certain chalosim where it's obvious that there aren't even two players. There's really only one player. There's one passive recipient, and there's one player. What's the easiest chalos to point to? that there's one active player and the other person is completely and totally passive. And the halacha makes perfect sense that he's the one, that player is the one who puts the chalos into writing. It's the easiest case. A get. The woman is nothing. I mean, she has to have it has to be in a sin liyoda, but in terms of performing das, I mean, I talk about the gashimun against the will. You don't even need her das. You don't even need her consent. So obviously, when it comes to a get, it makes perfectly good sense. For chosav will say for krisos, that he has to write the sefer krisos. That's it. She doesn't write it. He writes it because the Torah says he supplies the das. Well, let's say lemashalot other types of chalosim that are also equally simple. Shtar shichur. Which is law, law, meisha. It's the same thing. Evan's not making the calls. The others, b'mishachrim, again, it's even b'al korchoi. So there are certain kinyonim, there are certain chaloisim that are just so obvious who the person who has to put the das on the paper. Then you have other chaloisim that are not as simple, not as pashut. Let's have mechira sada. So who is the one whose das is really important when I'm selling a field? Is it das meicher, das koine? So the answer is, it's the das moicher, as we've already said many times. Mechir without das is called gezela. Obviously, you need das moicher. Remember from last week, the ketzos wasn't even so sure that you even need das kind altogether. The rabbim said you need it, but zochel and shlomo fun of works for it. According to the ketzos, you don't even need it. Even if you hold that you need das kind, it is clearly not as significant as the das moicher. Clearly, the engine that's driving the das of this chalois is the das moicher, and therefore it makes a lot of sense. It's not just tam halach masidi, tam hilchasabul taima. That makes no sense. It makes a lot of sense. Why is it that the Meicher writes the Shtar? Because he's the one who supplied the das of the Chalos. Based on what we said, who should write the Shtar Kedushin of this? If you think about it, who should really be writing the Shtar Kedushin?
The Isha.
She's the Meicher. She's the much more important player here. She's giving herself. He's getting a wife. But she's giving herself up. I mean, in theory, he could still marry somebody else. She is losing her rights to herself in a sense. By marrying herself off to this person, she's giving herself up to him. So she should be the one called upon to write the shtar. And what does the Torah say? Chiyigach ish isha, kach nemr halacha, either a pasuk or halacha mar sinai, that even though we would have thought, based on regular pashat hakinyonim, that it's the woman who's the active player, comes the Torah in the words chiyigach and says that this is the flip, this is the opposite. That notwithstanding the fact that in terms of pure dinim amna, she's really the matna, the Torah says that for the chalois of kedushin, he is the one who is more important. Her das is significantly less important. I didn't say Gerim Kashin should be al korcha. You can't. First mission kedushin says you can't do that. But in terms of who is supplying the das that's creating the chalois, he is and she's not. And that's the reason why he writes the shtar. He authorized the shtar, even though it's backwards. That's the chiddush. That's for nafuchu. That's the chiddush of kikach ishisha, that he is treated by the halacha as being the das machne, even though he's not really the machne, he's really the kohen.
Then why do we need a pasuk by the case of get? If it's mistaka that the person has to write, the man has to write, it's why do you need a pasuk? Why do you have gzeres kosov?
That gzeres kosov is almost telling me that he's the bal das. It's all the same thing. It means otherwise.
But it's a double pasha.
It's a double pasha because you know that already. That means I could have conceived that divorce could have been equal parties. He could initiate divorce. She could have initiated the divorce. I could have conceived of such a thing. Could have been such a pasha getting like that. So kamash v'lan the Torah, b'chosav l'asev kriz. He has to do everything, and he's the badass. He's the crazy. He's everything, and it's all the shittasa in a sense. It's all his.
Bal is also giving over
shiksa
nona. Responsibilities that he's.
Yeah, there are dini mamnas. There's no question there are dini mamnas. There's no question that there are dini mamnas that are taking place. But the chalos iser of kedushin, that status of becoming an eshes ish. So whether or not that carries with it dini mamnas changes is another story. But the real part of kedushin that interests us is she becomes no longer pruning to becomes an eshes ish. That really should have been hard writing the shtar. That would have made much more sense. In chesha mishpah, that would have made more sense. That's the chiddush haTorah, that kikach chishisha. That he is viewed as the das koina, as the das matan, not her. If that's the pshat in this gemara says kedushin, then that answers that question. We as the gasha, why do you say das res machna? So why don't we view it that she's the das machna and he's the das koina? And the same way I can give a gift to a katan because I'm supplying the ikra das. But medvam amurim, that svar makes any sense based on the ketzoyis from last week. When does that make any sense? Das res machna. So that's by. That's by mechira b'cheshev mishpat. When that is in fact the case, that that he is the das makna and the recipient is the das kona, who's not so important. But by kedushin, when it's flipped, so what kind of kasha is that? Let her be das ches makna. So she's not the das makna. The Torah calls him the das makna. So how in the world can we ask a kasha if das ches makna? So for kedushin, that's goof. It exists. God's kikachish. It's not shech to say that. So that's one beer to answer this kasha. What happened to das ches makna?
When the Torah says ki'ikach ish, does that mean that they're making him the machneh, and that's why he's ikach, or could it mean that this is an exception? Usually it's the machneh who writes, but here's an exception where the koneh writes.
Right, so we're learning pshat in the Gemara, the first one. You're right, if you learn pshat your way, so then it doesn't address the issue of das machneh, right. So Machoranim suggests this be with the Gemara condition of this. Could we come up with an alternate teret? Could we come up with another approach to explain why das ches makna, so this doesn't fit, doesn't make any sense here? So I put on the marmakov coming.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Both emails.
Both emails, sorry. The last bit wrong. Okay. So we take a look at the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. So the wide lines begin about 3, 6, about 9 or so lines into the wide lines. First one is Venichali. That's the end of that line. First one's the line of Venichali. The middle of about 9 lines into the wide lines. Put the end of the line. Ella. The Ran, for the purposes of a Sugya Nedarim, which is way beyond the scope of our discussion, the Ran comes up with one of these collector items, one of these mamish, which is unbelievable, you sold us in Ilchus Kedushin, that was really popularized by the Ketos. Ketos in the Sefer Avnei Miluim. So he quotes this Ran like 20 different times. He was so excited to find this Ran, he used it to answer every kasha under the sun. Listen to the Yisod of the Ran. Ella, Kevon Shat Torah Amra, Ki Yikach Ish Isha, Flo Amra Ki Silachach Isha Lish. The starting point of Kedushin is he is active and she is passive, not vice versa. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean that Lemaisa, practically under the chuppah, he puts the ring on her finger and not the other way around, but conceptually means something very, very basic. Lo kol hemena shetachnes atzma l'shesabal. Halachically, she doesn't have the koach, she doesn't have the halachic ability to enter into the husband's rishus. She does not actively put herself into the husband's rishus. If she would do that, that would be a violation of the din kikach lo kisilachach. So the woman, what the Ran just did in one fell swoop so far, is that he's forcing us to view the woman's role under the chuppah as being unbelievably passive. Now, Lamais, it is passive. Physically, check the videos, it's passive, because at the end of the day, he picks up the ring, he puts it onto her finger, he's the one who does the talking, and she stands there. So physically she is passive, but the Ran says conceptually, analytically, halachically, she's also passive. And says the Ran continues, because the halach is so insistent that she played the passive role under the chuppah, Armina Brekam de Kedushin, the Amrahi, Harenim Ereses Lach, Eimed V'Ramamish. If she starts to talk under the chuppah, and she starts giving a lash in Kedushin, that throws into question the entire Kedushin. So what is happening under the chuppah? What do you mean analytically? What do you mean conceptually she's passive? Isn't she the machne? Isn't she transferring herself over to the husband? Isn't she doing something active? Says the Ran, listen to this mashal. When we learned this Kedushin last year in Yeshiva, so I made one deal with the Bachar. We quote this Ran many, many times. The deal was, those who are married shouldn't share the Ran with their wives. Those who are not yet married shouldn't share the Ran with any girl they plan on marrying. Because if somebody would hear this Ran, and they would think that this has any impact on how we treat our wives, there would be nerve oil. So the Ran, this is pure lumbus, the Ran. This has nothing to do with being a good husband. This is just mamish, pure mamish tairihi, olam de nitzarech, the purest and the purest tailing lumbus that the Ran is presenting. Absolutely no relevance, lamais, in terms of how you treat your wife. Listen to the Ran, what he says. What's really happening under the chuppah? We're working a tightrope. Because she has to agree to the marriage. This is not the caveman talk. You're not grabbing a wife against her will. So she has to give some consent. On the other hand, we cannot give her the active role, because otherwise that would be a violation of kisi lochachisha. Listen to what's really happening, says the Ran. Ella mikavon Shehi maskemes l'kedusha ish. When she agrees, she walks down that aisle, she's standing there with a gown, she agrees to this, what's going on. He mevatelas daita uritzona. She negates her own self, her own das, her own ratzon. Umashvi nafsha etel habal. She presents herself to the husband-to-be. Listen to this halachic moshel. Kedova shel hefker. I mean, she's mafker herself and says, I'm available. V'habal machnisa l'shusay. And then when the Baal puts a ring on her, the halachic equivalent of what's going on is zechiyah min hefker. If you had to think of a ma'al l'cheshe mishpat as to describe what goes on under the chuppah, I would have said it's hakunah, I would have said it's a mechira, I would have said there's a mekach, it's a memker, there's money being given. It's like going to the store and buying something. I'm going to the store, I give a dollar, I get a bag of potatoes, I'll have the $5, I give a ring, I get a wife. That's what I would have thought. The Rad says, no, that's not what's happening. This is not the pasha of mechira, it's not mechil memker. People, it's worse than Mechalim. It's Hefker. If she's mafka herself, and you're Zoichim in a Hefker. That's the real emes of Moshel in Halacha that's going on.
It's very near Shakusha.
Why did he? The Torah says that, you're right, I mean, it's not Zechim in Hefker in the perfect sense of, normally Zechim in Hefker means, I just picked up the Dog Shal Hefker. But the truth is that there are different ways to be Zoich and different types of Hefker. The way Yezoicha and Hefker of Metaltalin is not the same Yezoicha and Hefker of Karka. The same way Yezoicha and Metaltalin is not the same Yezoicha and Avodin that Hefker. So there are different ways of being Zoicha and Hefker. So the Torah says that the Zechia on an Ishim and Hefker needs Keser Shtar Bi. But the model in Cheshi Mishpat and Gerivominis and Bavitsiya is Zechia and Hefker. So he stayed in the Ran and he's walking this tightrope because otherwise he can't figure out. On the one hand, we need Dasa Isha. You can't just grab and, you know, take the woman as a wife against her will. Mishnah, the Beis, and Kedushin. On the other hand, she's not allowed to talk. And she's not allowed to say her Reinimu Reslev. She's not allowed to give her input because that'll be a violation. Kika Chalok Yisilok. So this is the model. This is the Moshe that the Ran came up.
It's according to the Ran, a double ring ceremony is a real problem.
According to everybody, double ring ceremony.
Like real.
It's a real problem. Everybody, it's a real, 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 real problem.
I wasn't going to say it.
I had to be a little controversial.
Okay.
For the tape.
Only for that. We have to think about this round a little bit. Yeah, let the round, we'll let it settle a little bit. Let it settle inside of the kishkes a little bit. This sheet of the round. Lechora, according to the round, I said Lechora. I'm going to say I can't do it. Lechora is a double pashut. That's ready to steer. Lechora means I'm hesitating. Lechora is a double pashut. That according to the round, a question doesn't even get off the ground. Because we as the Gasha, let's look at every Kedushin through the eyes of Das Ches Makna. So there's a Makna and there's a Koine, and the Ish is the Makna and the Baal is the Koine. The Ran just says, no, that's not. There's no Makna. You know what there's no Makna? There's a Mafkir. There's a Mafkir, there's a Zoichim and a Hefkir. But there's no Makna for Koine. So the Chora, the concept of Das Ches Makna, so is limited when you have a Makna and a Koine. You don't have a makna, you have a mafkir, there's a lechem and a hefkir. Would anybody ever say the following? Imagine the following. Imagine I'm a gadol, and I'm mafkir something, and then a little kid comes and picks it up, the davashal hefkir. Would anybody ever say that the kid is zoicha min a hefkir? Min a Torah? Daschas makna so? Where's the daschas? I was the mafkir, I'm the daschas. It's a leitzonus, pashtas, right? Pashtas doesn't make any sense. Why? Because Daschas Machne means when I am Machne to you, so we can view me, I'm the Machne, you're the Koide. When there's a Hefker, I'm the Hefker, and I walk away from it. I'm not transferring it to you anymore, I'm out of the picture. When the Kotlin comes and picks it up, how in the world is the Das of the Machne from 20 minutes ago going to help the Kotlin? The Das of the Machne can help the Koide, not the Das of the Machne. So the Chora, according to the Ran, it's the Nilsa Pshita, that if Kedushin is really truly the Moshel and the Imamnes of Hefker, the Chim and Hefker, it's not Nitad Le'omer that there should be such a concept of Das Ches Machnas. But, I'm going to back off my Lechora in a minute. Believe it or not, the Mishnah Melech has a suffix. He's not so sure what I said is correct. He's not so sure, said the Mishnah Melech. I'm a gogol and I'm mafka something, and a katan picks it up. He's not so sure that the katan's not zeichem in a Torah. claims it's machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. It's not so poshut. It could be that hefker and zechim and hefker is called das ches machlekes. What's the problem with that? Leave me at the kedusha issue for a minute. We're playing devil's advocate. That's not in the Mishnah. Those who show Mishnah claim hold that when a person's mach or something, the content can be zochem in a Torah based on das ches machlekes. What's the problem with that? Remember from last week. What was the original problem, from 2 weeks ago? What forced Tosfos to create the svara in the sense of das ches machlekes? So what kash was Tosfos trying to answer? They had a stira. They had a gemara in Gittin of Sabach Dalet that speaks about a katan being zocher pashas min haTorah. They had a mishnah Gittin that says mitzias what? Mitzias chershad v'katan is only gazel mipnei tak yeshoah. It's not the katan is not zocher min haTorah. So Tosfos' grandiose solution to the problem was, in one case there's das ches machlekes, and the other there isn't. So the model case of the absence of das ches machlekes is mitzias chershad v'katan. That is the case par excellence of lack of das ches machlekes. That's the case where the katan is only zochem in the rabbanim. The Mishnah Melech just threw a curveball at us. He hit us over the head. Mishnah Melech just dug up half the Rishonim of Mitzvah and say, Das Ches Machlekes even applies when there's a mafka and a zecher and a hefka. How are you talking? How can you say such a thing? How in the world can anybody say such a thing? The whole source, the whole engine that's driving this distinction between Das Ches Machlekes being there and not being there is that Mitzvah is different than Matana. But if zecher and a hefka, its vipe is also Das Ches Machlekes, so tell us to solve nothing with their distinction. If that sad of Mishnah Melech is correct, that a mafkir and a zechem and a hefkir is also covered by the din of das ches machlekes, so why is mitzias chayish katan only with the rabbanim? It should be deraisa. So it's Mishnah Melech against the Mishnah. What's pshat?
Well, you don't have the person made it hefkir. You have a person, but in the if you just find something, there is no other side of it.
Aaron Lechor is saying, you're questioning my equation. I threw out the straw man for everybody. I said, just as Zechiyah in a Hefker, some Rishonim are claiming is Das Ches Machlekes, so to Mitzvah should also be the same thing. Because after all, isn't every Mitzvah just a Zechiyah in a Hefker? What's the answer? No, it's not. It's Bechalma. Mitzvah's Chershet Bekotah, the cotton picks up something. When you're talking about Il Mitzvah's Shaloi, is that a Zechiyah in a Hefker? Did the owner mafkir it? Did he actively mafkir it? What did the owner do, by saying?
He lost it,
and something else happened. He was misyayish from it. Misyayish from something is not the same as being mafkir something necessarily. It's a big machlekes we show in the elements of it. It's quite possible that they're different. Mafkir is almost like an active participation. It's not a mafkir. When I say I'm mafkir, this animal, I'm actively being. Almost, we can use a phrase, I've been mocking my animal to an entity. You know what the entity is called?
The next person.
Hefker. To be determined by whoever picks it up. So one could argue, when I'm mocking my animal, I'm being mocked in my animal to the Zechem and the Hefker. There's a relationship between the mocking. The mocker doesn't know the Zechem and the Hefker, but it's Nitalmei on there. Some Rishonim say that. By Yush, I'm not being mocked. Yush is not a Kno. Yush is a Matzav. I'm in this situation. I lost the item. The Torah says as mitzvah shavas aveda, and then the same Torah Kedusha says that by the way, if the owner was mitzvah, there's no more mitzvah shavas aveda anymore. But the owner of the lost object wasn't machted at anybody. He simply pulled himself away and made with the guy's allowed to keep it. So that relationship between the mafkir and the zeichem and hefkir zichud that for sure doesn't exist by shavas aveda. So we can breathe a sigh of relief. So there's some Rishonim who have that approach that. Hefker and Chiyuv Hefker is subject to Das Ches Machlekes. If that's the case, that Hefker and Chiyuv Hefker is Das Ches Machlekes, so then it doesn't bode well for Maseches Kedushin. Why? Let's backtrack for a minute. How do we get into this discussion? We're using the Ran to emphasize our Kasha. We had a Kasha. How could the Gemara tell us? How could Rashi and Kedushin Membe say there's no Shlichus for a Katan? You know there's no Shlichus for a Katan? Because there's no Kedushin for a Katan. So we said, why is there no Kedushin for a Katan? Oh, because there's no Kedushin for a Katan. No Kinyon for a Katan. So we said, what do you mean no kinyan for katan? No kinyan for katan. Das ches machlekes. So one view we said is that kedushin is different. The Torah flips the machlekes on the kinyan. The second answer we're giving is based on the Ran of Dor Nachman that Kiddushin is closer in model to Zechiyah and Hefker rather than to Nosin and to Makabel. If that's the case, that it's closer to Mafker and Zechiyah and Hefker, but we're not even sure that that's not subject to Aschas Machnas. So does the Ran help us, or we had a nice, interesting Ran, but it got us absolutely nowhere fast?
I don't think I'm really understanding the Ran. What are the mechanics of Kiddushin according to the Ran?
It's all happening. It's so fast. Even the video doesn't pick it up. It's so quick. I mean, it's simultaneous. Basically, in the halachic universe, what's really happening, says the Ran, if you had to break it down, what's happening? It's happening almost in two different stages. You're right. I mean, practically, it's happening at the same second, but halachically, it's being viewed as happening in two different stages.
By accepting something, she's
being again, it's all the same time. There's no time mechanism. There's no time delay in this. It's all happening b'vasachas. When the ring is put on her finger in front of the Eid and Berea, that's everything's happening at the same time. Until then, nothing happened. If she wants to walk away under the chuppah and go before the ring, she can walk away.
With a katan, and the father does it, it's the same mechanics.
The father can only act on behalf of the girl. It's a katana. The father can't.
But he's making her hefker, so to speak.
Right. The Torah gives that. That's the chiddush Torah. That when she's a katana or a nara, any kachas that older girl has, the father has on her behalf. Right?
He's making her hefker, right. And then she. And
then the husband being zechem.
And who's accepting the kedushin?
He's accepting.
So he's making her happy.
He's her.
And then he's accepting it. So
that's right. He's her. He's the same thing. Him and her are the same thing. When under the age of 12. Now. So Rabbi said, we thought we used the Ran to answer the Kasher of Daskas Machnas, but now the Mishnah just put the brakes on us by telling us that we're not even sure Zechim and Hefker is based we're not even sure Zechim and Hefker is not subject to Daskas Machnas. So I'll tell you, Rabbi said, I'm still comfortable calling the Ran. You know why? I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Ran does not hold like that side of the Mishnah. There's no way, if you didn't stop and ask the Ran, what do you think? Do you think that a gadol can be mafker and a katan can be zechem and a hefker? Forget it. The Ran would never go down that route. What's my proof positive?
Because then a katan could be kaddish nisha.
That's like taking our answer in it. But give me a conceptual proof. You're right. You're 100% right. Give me a proof that there's no way that the Ran's take on hefker was that there's a das chas makna. What is the Ran invoking the model of Hefker for? Why is he using this imagery of Hefker? Because he's trying to solve what problem? He's trying to make the woman what? Basically as non-existent as possible. He's making her as passive as possible. He doesn't want the minute that the woman starts to do something active on the chuppah, the Ran gets nervous. So if you're going to tell me that the Ran's mindset of Hefker, the Ran we learned from Mitzia, thought that Hefker was, there's a mafkir, and then there's a zoicher, and the mafkir is part of the chalois. And the mafka is a man you play by the chalais, and he's the das of the chalais, then you just undermine your entire effort. Your entire effort of invoking the model of hefker and zechim and hefker is to take the woman off the center stage. And to make everything revolve around the chasim being zechim and hefker. If you're going to put the Ran back in the camp of Yishayim and will say that the das chas machnas works by hefker, so then you undermine everything you were trying to accomplish. So Lefiani is dieti, we're still okay with the Ran. I'm not disturbed. I'm not bothered with Mishmach. Mishmach's shita doesn't concern me. I'm just trying to explain based on the Ran. If you'd stop and ask the Ran, why is the das chas machnas by kedushin? The Ran would say simply because there's no das chas machnas by hefker. The Ran never heard of the other tzad in the Mishmach. Can't be. If the Ran would have learned hefker through the eyes of the other tzad, he never would have given his mashal of hefker. So everybody say, Lefini is dying, when all the dust settles, we have two good models to explain why Lamaisa caught on Kevin Bagashinisha. Either one is accepted, either one is accurate, either one is correct. Either because the Torah flips who's the kohen, who's the vakta, based on the shtaros, the map and the tes, or because of the shtickle Torah, the Ran, and the
naftaf.
What
the one like Rashi that's a custom
of Reish? I mean, just stop the Rashi and soup, it's Mamash Ramjish. Yeah, it could be, it's another answer. Could be another answer. It's Achidami, it's Mamash Xerz, don't ask any questions, maybe. So Rabbi say, again, we got sidetracked. It's hard to call learning Kedushin a sidetrack because it is a Kedushin, so we all learn Kedushin. But our real Sugita is Shlichus, not really Kedushin. The reason why we spent a half hour on understanding why Kohen came Kaddish and Isha, because according to Rashi in Kedushin and Meis, that was the same source that there's no Shlichus for Kohen. Now take a look in the Maimon Kohenus. Another Rashi in the Maimon Kohenus. Ayin Aleph from Meis. And now from base came through the last Rashi on the page. Katan lays the shlichus. Gemara in the middle of a complicated sugya of ribbis makes the statement that a katan doesn't have any shlichus. How do you know a katan doesn't have shlichus? Listen to this Rashi. Rashi gives you a whole other story. The chi kosav shlichus, begodol kosav, because the whole institution of shlichus is only written for a godol. The royal litroim. You need somebody who's able to be Torahim. Torahim what? Torahim Tvua, Torahim Peiris. How did Rashi know that Shlichus had anything to do with Rod Latron? Because the Gemara Kedushin Memalach on Beis, one of the Makoros of Shlichus was Atem, Gam Atem, L'Rabba Shluchachem. So Rashi says, he gives you a different story. This Rashi is not related to the Rashi in Kedushin Memalach. It's a whole different story than the Rashi in Kedushin. Here Rashi, Rav Tzvi and Alpha Beis is telling you that there's no shlichus for a katan, because in order to be the parasha shlichus, you have to have the ability to be tyrein. Shehekdei shehekdesh. V'dibur achal. V'gav hekdesh yosir adar v'yish ksiv. V'gav truma me'ez kolish she'edven olivoy. It's not even the same truma. I mean, it's the same word, but it's a little bit of a different imagery. One's taking off truma, off food and earth, so one's dedicating money to the Mishkan for Bezalel. Rashi, it doesn't matter. It's all the same parasha. It's all, these are all examples of being mocked or something, designating something with your words, either designating the holy fruit, or designating the holy gold, silver, and copper, or designating the holy animal. All these types of haptoshas and trumas and bafresh and donating and davas and mitzvahs, it's all the same parasha. Ish ksiv. It is called ish ben olivah. And since truma plays such a major component, major role in the parasha of shlichus, a katan who is not in the parasha of truma and all of the above, by definition, is not in the parasha of shlichus. Very different picture than Rashi gave you in Kedusha and Daf Membeis. A different machol legamri. Is there an issue with this machol of Rashi? Is this the Oedish Leimer? Is there a problem? Does Rashi disturb us a little bit? Is Rashi Bermitzi? This should be the Mokor Ben Shlichus of Katan. There's something that's bothering me about this Mokor Ben Shlichus of Katan being linked to the parasha of Truma and Hektish and all of the above. What's bothering me is a Gemara Maseches Nida. We got that Gemara also. On Daf. Memvav of it out. That's what it was. Memvav of it out. Memvav of it base.
On a base.
Memvav of it base. I'm sorry. Memvav of it base. It's about 12 lines or so from the top. Memvav of it base, the Itmar. Actually, we skipped down a little bit. Goof. We're going to have to Goof. The first one line is Lokin. The end of the line, Goof. Hikdish ve'achla acherim. The subject of this discussion is a katan. But he's a katan who's called a mufla samach liyish. According to simple pshat halacha, he's above the age of 12. Now, a bar mitzvah boy usually turns at the age of 13, that's why it's called a mufla samach liyish. She's almost bar mitzvah. Or for a girl, she's over the age of 11. She's almost bas mitzvah. And they're makdish something. So Rebbe Yehuda Ben-Yasmeh would have said, so what? Until the bar mitzvah, it's going to run the table. So come to the Mishnah and told us, no, not so simple. If a katan over the age of mufla sabachlishin, a year before his bar mitzvah, a year before her bas mitzvah, is machdish or something, we have to take that with the utmost seriousness. And if they know what they're doing and they understand what they're doing, then the hektish is chal. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes amaroim, just how serious that hektish is chal. Guf, hektish v'ach lachem, Rav Kahana amar ein loikin. Rav Kahana says, it's chal, but between you and me, no one's going to get malchus for reading it. Normally we get nenem and hektish echa malchus. Rav Kahana says, for that kind of hektish, it's not going to get malchus. Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish Rabbi Shabbat, I like it. Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish disagreed with Rav Kahana and said, no, Yechai Malkus. But my commitment, what are they arguing about? Mar Sava Mufla Samach Ishtia Raisa, Mar Sava Mufla Samach Ishmid Rabbanon. One Amira held that Muflas Abdush's whole institution of a year before a mitzvah is all a chumah mid derabbanan. The third, it's not really hekdesh. If you take a balchus for nisah derabbanan, Rabbi Yechon Shlomo said no. It's a real bona fide in deraisa, potentially derived from sukkah. The Gemara is going to discuss back and forth what the potential of sukkah. So as machlekes amaroyim, is this principle of muflas Abdush a deraisa derabbanan? Why is this raising a red flag for Rashi now? The Gemara says there's no shlichus for katan. End of discussion. What does katan mean? Till his bar mitzvah, till her bas mitzvah, he's a katan raktan. If Rashi is right, if I'm mitzvah tafayin aleph, that the entire machor for ain shlichus the katan is because ain truma the katan and ain hektish the katan. Not so simple. Maybe there is hektish and truma for a katan. If the katan is 12 years old, if the katan is 11 years old. Would anybody say that at 12 and a half years old, the boy can make a shaliach? We never heard of such a thing. Age, tichus lekotan, in kedushim and beizim, and tzirai now, age was chon, it's chon kliyav, age was lekotan, tilus bamit today. If the more core for age, tichus lekotan, is derived, like Rashi said in kedushim, from ishim kedushim, then I understand, until he's bamit so, toflon, tila abradas, he's not an ish, he can't make a shaliach, he can't have a shaliach. Then I understand where the cutoff point is barabas mitzvah. But if you're going to tell me that Ein Shlichus HaKatan is part of the parasha of Truma, Truma itself has a different definition of Ish. There's a Muflas HaMachliyash a year before. How could Rashi make such a statement? How could Rashi say that the mock or the source for Ein Shlichus HaKatan is based on Truma? Unless Rashi is willing to commit himself to what? Rashi is saying that we must paskin that Muflas HaMachliyash
make a shlich.
No, either that,
or
maybe it's not derabbanan. Maybe the chenami. The kash is a good kash, but the emphasis is that most of not derabbanan. So to say that a 12 and a half year old kid can make a shtich, we never heard of such a thing. So Rashi the Chora is putting himself into a corner, into a hole in Bogotia the Fayyad Aleph. Rashi and Kedushin is cruising. Rashi and Kedushin doesn't have to learn neither nothing above. But Rashi and Bogotia is committing himself the Chora to a very, very specific shita. So comes the Ketzos and says, it's not just Rashi that's putting himself down. But if you look carefully at the Rishonim, says the Ketzos, some Rishonim quote as the source for Shlichus LaKotan, Truma. Other Rishonim quote, Gittin in Kedushin. And says the Ketzos, lo and behold, the Shitas have to match up nicely. And he dug up a couple of Shitas. They appear in the Rambam, the last Rambam that I sent out to frantically this evening. So, Perek Vav Alachates. So, the Rambam has a startling statement about the sugya of. Of Ein Shlichus LaKotan, the Rambam Perek Vav Alachates. It's in the middle of the Rambam. It starts with, it's on the top, I think I put the whole Rambam, the Rambam comes, but on the second phase of the Rambam. Uktana, it's in the middle of the Rambam. Uktana eina osa shalech kabbalah. Ektana, even though she can receive a get, she's under basid, she was married up by her father, she's married to Raisa, she can receive a get, but she can't appoint a shalich. Why can't she avoid shaliach? Afa bishachatzer kano lagi tegidol. Even though she has a kid in chatzer, why doesn't a ketana have a shlichus? Listen to this Rambam. Mipnei shishaliach kabbala tzorich edim ve'ein edin al hakatan she'eino ben das gemura. Says the Rambam that a girl can accept to get all right, but not their shlichus. Because shlichus the Kabbalah requires edim, and the institution of being made that a katan authorized something doesn't exist. Ain't be edim ala katan, she'd have been asked, well, you can't come to Beis and say, I saw the 10-year-old kid do something. That, we throw you out of Beis for that. So any minu shlichus that's done by the girl under the age of 12 is null and void. So it's not shayach for her to have a shlich. But the Rambam just said, did the Rambam say there's a gzeres hakasav, there's no shlichus for katan?
It's like a technical reason.
A pure technical reason? which may lead us to believe that in cases where that technical reason doesn't apply, maybe the Rishlach is for Katan. Maybe in Truma, that reason doesn't apply in Truma. Maybe Eidus for Truma. But the Rambam say, for Mekach HaMemka, but the Rambam say for other areas, maybe the Rishlach is for Katan. The Gemara says, Kamali Eishlach is a Katan and call it Tarakula. So what does the Rambam tell you the whole story over here for? I'll give you a whole shtickle Torah. If there's a technical glitch in Hilchas Gittin because you need Eidus, Kabbalah Saget, therefore, there's no shtickles for Katan. Implied that in Kol Tarkul there would be. It's not true. The Ram said Beferish is not true. So what's Pshat in the Ram? So the Ketzai says Pshat in the Ram is as follows. The Rambam fundamentally held, like Rashi and Hasugya, complete the sermon. The real makor for Ein Shlichus HaKatan is because the whole parsha in Kiseidze that speaks about Shlichus for Shiloh, Shilcha, the Rabbi Shilcha, and Chemaisai, is talking about adults. How do we know it's talking about adults? How do you know that parshas Kiseidze is talking about adults? Because a Katan can't get married. Well, wait a second. So we can't get married, obviously can't get divorced. What's the problem? A Katana can get married through the vehicle of her father. Once she's married, who receives the get on her behalf? Herself. So she can't accept the get. So Ketana is Shaykh to the Parsha of Gittin. What? No, okay, but no. Once you tell me that Parsha's Kiseite speaks to a Ketana also, when the Torah says Vishilach Vishulcha, the Rabbi Shulcham Kamoso, the Torah is addressing any single person who's in Parsha's Kiseite. So Rashi and Asugi said, little kids, Pashki Seita doesn't talk to the kids on the Bar Bas Mitzvah. Not true, says the Ketzos. It does speak to, doesn't speak to boys under Bar Mitzvah, but it does speak to girls under Bas Mitzvah. Because a girl under Bas Mitzvah can potentially be the recipient of a get. Minatora. Father married her off, she's 8 years old, she can receive a get. I'm in a Torah. So the Ketzos says, the Rambam's in a pickle now. Because the Rambam's held the emes and lock of Ein Shlichus HaKatan is Rashi, Kedushim, and Beis Melech. Pashat Kiseitze. But the Rambam's bothered with the Kasha, but children are here. So that's what the Rambam says, no. Children are here, but not appointing Shlichim. Because in Pashat Kiseitze, a child can't appoint a Shlich. You know why? A boy can't appoint a Shlich because he can't get married in the first place. A girl can't appoint a Shlich because at the end of the day, you need Eidus for Mini Shlichus for a gap, and Ein Mi'in al Ma'aseh Katan. So because it is, this is not just a quirk. This is the Rambam's way of addressing that question. Hey, Thomas and Pashat Kiseitze, the answer is no, she's not. Because Ein Mi'in al Ma'aseh Katan, whatever that means, whatever the guidelines of that Allah are, since Ein Mi'in al Ma'aseh Katan, the Meila Pashat Kiseitze doesn't speak to boy, little boys or little girls. And once we've knocked all the boys and girls out of Pashat Kiseitze, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Rashi and Kedushim and Beis is right, that Ein Shluchas HaKatan. Look what the Ravid says about this. The Ravid says, Om Avram, Zahatam, Ein Loi Tam V'Loi Reach. So what is the correct reason? What is no shlichus for Katan or Ketana? El Atem Gam Atem L'Rab HaShulchem, Atem B'nei Das, HaShulchem B'nei Das. Nimtze Sheshulech B'Shulech, Chichem Lios B'nei Das. Who is the Ravid much closer to? Out of the two Rashis, the Ravid is synonymous with who? Rashi, Bav Mitzir. Says the Ketzos, the Machlekes Rambam and Ravid in Perek Vav Eloch Tes, in Hilchos Gerushin, is the same old Machlekes the 2 days in Rashi. Rashi and Kedushin Mayor says, Kedushin and Gittin, the Rambam basically says, I just had to touch it up, and you had to get rid of some of the rough edges of the Kasha that Ketana can get again. So the Rambam fanfared that Kasha with any Maaseh, any Maaseh Katan. But fundamentally, the Rambam is in sync with Rashi and Kedushin of Mimiz. And the Ravid is in sync with the Rashi in Bava Mitzvah. Comes to Ketzos for the punchline. There happens to be the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, about how to paskin about Muflas of Achliyish. That Machlokes Amaroyim, by golly, just coincidentally or not coincidentally, happens to be Machlokes Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam happens to be the Rishon Upaskins that Muflas HaMachlish is Deraisa. And therefore, the Rambam could never have learned that the source for Ein Shlichus HaKatan is from Truma, because that would have put us into the impossible position that a muflis of a chliyish could make a shliach, which is not a terrible position. It's against shas. The Raibin in Nechus the Zirus happens to be one of the Rishanim, who paskins that muflis of a chliyish happens by Galilee to only be midirabanim. You're from in HaTorah, a kotar until the day of his bar mitzvah. The talent of the day of his mitzvah cannot separate truma. If they can't be mafish truma, then inochinami, and they can't be kishulich either midirais until the day of the bar mitzvah. So it says the tzais, all the shalom amakom yom b'shalom. So we discovered two Rashis. Each Rashi raised questions for us. The Rashi Kedusha raised a half hour discussion about why is that a kotan kemim kash nisha with the rans and the darim, with the das machtas, das kain, all the stuff based on last week's shiur. That was all the consequences of that Rashi. And the ramification of the other Rashi, but Metzia, the Rashi is focusing on the inability to be mafish truma, runs us right smack into the sugya in the deed to Daf Memvav Mevez. The Ketzos came to the rescue and said that that Rashi in Metzia and Aleph has to assume that Mufas HaMachish is only the Rabbanan. And in fact, says the Ketzos, he did his homework and he found the Taka the Rambam. He just gave his little razzle-dazzle pshat to the Rambam. And the Rabbi disagrees, and the Rabbi and the Rabbi the Shittos in terms of Mufas HaMachish. So when all the dust settles, we're going to say, Ein Shlich is the Katan. No answers and but, no questions out until the day of the Bar Bas Mitzvah, Ein Shlich is the Katan. What's the ultimate Machor? Habaycha Yivchar. You choose. You want to go down Rashi's root in Kedushim and Beis, of in Kedushim, Tashgevishim, that Parsha doesn't apply to Ketanim. We want to go down Rashi and Babetzir Defai and Aleph, the Truma angle. The Rambam went down one angle, the Rambam went down another angle. At the end of the day, it all boils down to what your ultimate take is, the Mufas HaMachish. In the process, we were also Marviach, the answer to that Kasha, one of the answers to the Kasha, two of the answers to the Kasha, what happened to Kedushin to a Kotlin, why isn't Das Chesmakla? So, Marviach, that Ran, with that little bit of a better understanding of the model of Hefke, what it does or doesn't mean, basically Kedushin.
Why do you have two Rashi?
Why does Rashi give two different reasons? Unless in one place Rashi is willing to commit himself, why not? It's a Stephen Rashi's. Rashi did write different things in different places sometimes. So it's hard to know why Rashi presented one mahalach in one place and one the other.
Why